Welcome to Comment with me, Lauren Booth. This is Press TV's live show, giving you the chance to have your say on what's happening in the world. George Galloway can't be here tonight, so it's just you and I having tonight's great conversation. As George says, it's only a debate, though, if you join in. And if you disagree with me, all the better. I'm in London, but wherever you are, we want to hear from you. And we'll call you back, so don't worry about the phone bill. Join me for the great debate. Call now on +44 208 601 4555. You can also SMS me on +44 78 00 00 8066. Or if you prefer to email, then send one to comment@presstv.co.uk. So pick up that phone now, send an email. As always, there's plenty to talk about. Here in London, for example, hundreds of roads right now are being sealed off, and champagne, for some, is being put on ice. Yes, the royal wedding bandwagon rolls into town tomorrow. Everywhere on our TV screens, teary-eyed presenters sniff about romance. They go misty-eyed about pomp and ceremony. But here on Comment, I promise you, a sentimentality-free zone tonight. We'll be looking at the royal guest list, for example, for the big day. The couple have snubbed, yes, snubbed President Obama and his wife Michelle. Why? Because they come from a republic, a democracy. Saudi royals, though, and many other billionaires of questionable ethics will be swanning around London this weekend, protected by British taxpayers' money. But leaders who were voted in are not really welcome. So is it all good value for money? Do you feel that having a wedding is what makes Britain great? Raises our status, perhaps? Or is it just a right royal rip-off? What do you think? A glimmer of light this week from Palestine. How often do we get to say that? Not often enough. This comes with the announcement of an interim unity government to be formed between Hamas and Fatah. Israel has long been saying that talks on peace have stalled because of Palestinian internal divisions. But guess what? Israeli officials are now livid because the Palestinian factions are trying to unite. So what does that say about Israel's desire to see a Palestinian state formed anytime soon? Israel is effectively at peace with the current Abbas wing of the Palestinian Authority and at war with Hamas. How will that work for future negotiations? Tell me your thoughts. Maybe you can sort it out. As British and American royalists wave flag this weekend in the safety of their living rooms, the Middle East bubbles and boils over. Bill Windsor has invited the Saudi royals to his big day, which is a touching show of solidarity for a family whose police have just arrested at least 30 Shia Muslims, including two bloggers today, accused of taking part in demonstrations in solidarity with the opposition in Bahrain. Another reason to ask: is it right in this day and age for a head of state to be selected purely by genetic accident? I want to hear your views on that. And I should say now that when we're in conversation, any views that I express will not be those of Press TV, just my own. The show is not scripted, but is broadcast live, and it's all about your thoughts and your comments. So call now. There's a great deal to talk about. Well, let's begin with Palestine today. The news that Hamas and Fatah may have put aside their differences of 4 years and that particular section of violence is now over. What will that mean for the Middle East so-called peace process? I believe we have Bill from Wiltshire now. Bob, are you on the line? If you are, welcome to Comment.
Hello.
Hello,
Bob. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. What would you like to comment on this evening?
Well, starting off from what you said, I think the royal wedding is totally disinteresting, and I can't understand why everyone's taking it over, I mean the news. And as far as Palestine is concerned, I think it's absolutely brilliant that they've got together. It always struck me as bonkers that with an enemy like Israel, that they hadn't really got their act together and joined forces. And I think that's really good.
Bob, is this a story, Palestine, their story? Is this something that you follow closely? And if you do, how do you get your information off British television? Because, as we've said, it's all about clothes at the moment and rich visitors to London and that wedding.
Well, I get a lot of my information from Al Jazeera, which I think is a great program, and, of course, Press TV, slightly biased, I think, towards Iran, but pretty good reporting.
What sort of deals do you think can be done between Hamas and Fatah now that will actually work with the Israeli side? Because, you know, America's already saying, for example, that they're not... Well, they're kind of warning in their language that they're not going to work with this new coalition, which is senseless, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just time for Israel to go back to the 1969 or 1967 border and give Palestine a chance of being a real country. I mean, and surely that would be in their own interest. I just don't understand it. But, bonkers. And I tell you what really angers me regarding the rest of the news is everyone saying that we're in it for the oil as far as Libya is concerned. And yet, at the end of the day, whoever wins the war, be it the rebels or Gaddafi, we're not going to have the oil anyway. It's going to be sold on the open market. So we're not going to get any oil or anything out of it. So that really annoys me when people talk about that. I think we're in it because of the despots of the world, like the Saudis and the Bahrainis and religion. And I could go hours on religion, but they fundamentally bulldozing mosques in Bahrain and in Libya. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Why is the BBC silent, do you think, on Bahrain and Saudi? I mean, they really haven't been focusing very much on that news at all, and it's very important.
Everything is a royal wedding. No, it's the Zionist, I'm sure. And in America, the Zionist lobby. I mean, it's not Jews that are the problem. It's Zionists, the people who support the Israel sort of state rather than being Jews. There are many Jews I know who are very embarrassed about Israel. And so one can't say it's a Jewish problem. It's a Zionist problem.
But what about the royal wedding? I know you said that you weren't particularly interested in it, but as I presume you're a British taxpayer, you're in Wiltshire, how do you feel about policing the sort of royals from Saudi who are currently rounding up dissenters in their own country and making them welcome here? And do you accept the arguments put by most of the British media at the moment that actually a bit of pomp and ceremony is actually what being English or British is all about?
No, I don't think that. I was in the military for 20-odd years, and so I know a fair about pomp and ceremony, but no, I don't think that we're that interested. I think the females might be, but as far as blokes are concerned, no, not a lot.
OK, thanks very much for your call, Bob in Wiltshire. Well, we're going to go over now to Marcia in London. Marcia, welcome to Comment. What would you like to talk about this evening?
Good evening, Ms. Booth. I'd like to talk about Bahrain in Saudi Arabia.
You're on air. Go ahead, Marcia.
Well, I'd like to give a message to all the Muslims. Please, please, please do not go for Hajj. Just postpone it. Why should you postpone it? For the young girl, 20-year-old girl named Ayat, who was raped by Saudi, the cursed house of Al Saud. Regarding the Saudis coming here, at the end of the day, the Saudis are butchers and so are the ones who invite them. It's simple as that. And I do not care much about the wedding. I couldn't give a damn. I was waiting for a book from the library for a course I was doing. I finished the course. I couldn't get the book. Here we have money for the wedding. Here we have money for the wars in Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan. Your previous commentator, I think, is totally, slightly mistaken. He should go and find out who owns Al Jazeera, and he'll be shocked.
Let's talk more about your idea of people, Muslims, not going on Hajj. Marcia, yes. What sort of protest would that be, and how would that have an effect, do you think?
The effect would be tremendous, because the Saudis think, because they have taken over our Arabia, there's never Saudi Arabia, it's only Arabia. How dare they put their name on it, and they think they own it. And everybody thinks, because they go every year, the Muslims stay for years and years to go for pilgrimage. They get treated like worse than animals. And the Saudis think, ah, yes, we are getting all this money and we are the head of the Muslim. They are not. Even our children, 80-year-old children playing out on the streets, do not want to be the Saudi kings. So that would have one effect. Not once have the Muslims protested of the atrocities in the Ummah. This should count. The young lady, the 20-year-old, who just read a poem, and Saudis, the Saudis got her raped. Nobody else but the Saudis and the Todd, the slimy Bahraini Todd. And he's not coming? Well, I will hope he was coming, because I'm there waiting for him. Not for the wedding, but I'm waiting for him.
Marcia, you made some really good points there. What about the voices, the media voices beyond the Middle East? Do you feel that they've been giving enough focus to Saudi Arabia? And if not, why not?
Well, no. They will not. Why not is easy. Because they all want to be with the bullies. The biggest bullies are Britain, America. And now France is trying with Sarkozy, the Todd, the norm. He wants to be Napoleon. And he thinks, because Gaddafi said no to his Mediterranean group. So he comes along saying, a bomb. I mean, who the hell is Franco Frattini, the Italian FM foreign minister, saying he will bomb, he will recognize?
Marcia, thank you very much for your call. I think you've raised something really important there. If Muslims as a community, if we can say that, or if enough groups of Muslims around the world do feel infuriated by what they're seeing going on in Bahrain, and certainly I'm having conversations here week in, week out with you, and you feel infuriated, call me if you won't go on Hajj as a protest. Call me if you think that is a good process, if it's time that instead of complaining about the so-called Western media not talking about Saudi Arabia, is it time for the Ummah to take action themselves, peaceful, non-violent action against Saudi Arabia, if you think they're bullies, if you think they're active in Bahrain against the people there, and we've seen the tanks rolling into Manama, so we know they are, what are you going to do about it? Call me. We're going to go now to Zakari in Aberdeen. Welcome to comment.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum to you and all Muslims. And I congratulate the Muslims and the Palestinians regarding the unity of the Palestinians. And I suggest to all Muslims to sign up to a march from all borders. 200 million Muslims, they should march from the Gaza, from the West Bank, from the Libya, from Lebanon, from the Syria, and 200 million. I will sign now. And if the governments, the Muslim governments, they arrange that one, 200 million, to see if these Israeli, they said that they have 6 million Jews, they've been murdered or they're massacred by Europeans, how many they will kill for our Muslims. And then we will find out. We are prepared to die for Palestine, 100 million Muslims, from all Muslim
Zakari, I do have to say something to you. There's a friend of mine in Gaza at the moment who surprisingly hasn't been allowed to leave. This might surprise some of you watching. He hasn't been allowed to leave by the Egyptian secret service, by the Egyptian authorities at the Rafah border. So things haven't changed that much yet.
Yeah, they will be sorted out, this one. No, regarding them, Mr. William Hugh, that says DNA of the British, of the democracy, and human rights. Regarding democracy, on what basis the wealth of the Queen Elizabeth and the royal family are not declared and is top secret, and why they don't pay tax? Is it their wealth is belong to themselves and that they are Mrs.
Zakari, I've just got to stop you. Which royal family do you mean? Because the British royal family voluntarily have paid tax since the 1990s at a lower rate and with a gift of return, which I don't really understand, but still.
How much did they declare? And I have one word from somebody. Their wealth is almost $180 billion. $180 billion. How much did they declare? How much did they pay tax? This is what is it. And then regarding the DNA of the British, as much as the history says, is a jingoism, barbarism, colonialism, sale of arms, creating war, division, and a rule. And this is the DNA of the British, not democracy, Mr. Hugh.
Zachary, let me just ask you a quick question. Yes. Tomorrow, though, is about unity. It's about a man and a woman getting married, a member of the royal family, true. But people are there from all around the world, all different one-time protectorates, if you like, of the British Empire, now their own nation-states, all sitting next to each other. Isn't that a good show of unity for mankind?
No. This is a club of the criminals. Club of the criminals, top criminals, mother of mafia and the rest of the mafia. There is no difference between Queen Elizabeth and Obama and also the Mubarak and Ali Abdullah Saleh and Gaddafi. There is no difference. All are criminals. And the king of the Bahrain has no right to send the wealth of the Bahraini people,
Zachary,
42 million.
Thank you for that comment. One last question. Will you, though, still be tempted to watch the royal wedding tomorrow? Be honest.
I will. I have seen William near my house. There is one bar from the Aberdeen University. He was coming. I was coming, and I saw him. And I don't think if I had talked to this boy. And that is what is it. And I wonder if those people, they have murdered Diana. Diana, they have been murdered by...
Well, that's another question for another time. Thanks very much, Zachary. The accusation there about Diana being murdered has been going around since, of course, her death in a car crash. It was natural causes. It was a bad accident. Say everybody, the driver died. No conviction was ever made and no proof at all of any conspiracy theory. But an alternative narrative, always welcome here on Comment. Let's go to one of your emails next. This is from Rita in the UK. Rita is heartbroken for the people of Bahrain who are being slaughtered by the Bahrainis and Saudis. Rita is heartbroken for all the suffering going on caused by special interests in the West and Israel. But I'm very upset that my father died an early death fighting fascists in World War II. And now I hear the fascists of Bahrain and Saudi who are in gross violation of the Geneva Convention, murdering doctors, women and children, yet the murdering fascists are being invited to the royal wedding. Rita, I can see that you reflect a lot of our viewers today by feeling the bile rising by the fact that these people who are suppressing and oppressing their own people are still rich enough to be treated gracefully when they come to our country. What of ethics? Tony, perhaps you can tell me. Tony in London, we're going to talk about ethics, perhaps. Welcome to Comment.
Oh, hello, Lorraine. How are you?
Fine, Tony.
Nice.
Thanks for calling.
You all do a wonderful job. We're really proud of you. We're proud of, you know, you've made Peace TV. Is it Peace? Press TV, sorry. Very proud, and we are very proud, and we're happy with the work that you keep on with the good work. Now, I want to talk briefly. It's a very bad line, but I'm going to talk briefly about two things. First, I agree with that lady who phoned you earlier on, Lorraine. Very nice. But she must understand that the Saudi family rulers, you know, the dynasty, they dancing to the tune of the West, orchestrated by America and Europe, Britain including. And it's very sad. But what she had a point, and I agree with her, to boycott until they get their act together in that part of the world. Now, we've gone to the Palestinian problem. The Zionists, they seem to have one foot in the United States of America and the other foot in Israel. And all this is being paid for by the American taxpayer to the tune of $7 billion per annum. The Americans are going through a very, terrible economic time, and they've got to borrow money from China, to look after their adopted child, Israel. I mean, it's not fair for the American taxpayer.
You know, Tony, it's very interesting. There's a website called If Only Americans Knew, and I think there was a book of the same name out about 5 years ago, which I have to recommend that everybody reads, because you can't help wondering that if Americans knew the sheer amount of their economy going towards supporting Israel, with what for return? Tony, what do you think America gets from Israel, then?
Well, you know, I mean, Israel is... I just understand. I just can't make out the logic, right? Perhaps you might be able to help me. If the Americans, the foreclosure is on record. People are without jobs. People are being fed with soup and rolls by charity and voluntary organizations. We just can't get anything, you know. I mean, Israel gets this chunk, such a big chunk from the American treasury at a time when America's, you know, as I said, almost bankrupt.
Tony, last quick question. Announcement today about unity between Fatah and Hamas after four long, terrible years of infighting. How do you think Israel is going to react in the long term to the news of a unity government on its doorstep?
Well, this is my humble opinion, Lorraine. Israel is already opposing it. I don't know why, and yet, you know, these people, we used to blame them, oh, they disunited the Hamas and the other, you know, Fatah. Now they're united. We should congratulate them. And Israel now is already, you know, queuing up to condemn this unification between the two sides.
Okay, Tony.
What's wrong with that?
Thanks very much. We're going on to our next caller now, who is Anna from Ireland. Welcome to Comment, Anna.
Hello, Lauren. I'd like to talk about Saudi and perhaps have a comment on the Palestine-Israel situation as well.
Go ahead, you're
live. First, I'm going to say something about Israel. Their behavior is absolutely appalling. America is supporting them. The American taxpayers' money is being spent on weapons to kill innocent Palestinian children, their parents, their brothers, their sisters. And human rights is not a question that comes up at all. America doesn't seem to mind that Palestinians are dying on a daily basis. These people are malnourished. They're not getting enough food into the country. And yes, I too have a friend in Gaza at the moment who has been prohibited from leaving. Mm. Somebody with a passport the same as my own.
Okay.
And not allowed out of the country because of the Egyptians. This is a disgusting situation. They have killed Vittoria Aragani. Mm. They have killed Giuliano Mercamis. And, you know, they're killing the activists. They're killing the Palestinians. Oh, America is saying nothing. The West is saying nothing. And in Saudi, the same story. The Saudi country is the only country called after one man, after Ibn Saud, the father of the present king. And these kings in Saudi, they think they own the country. They have no constitution. They have no rights to change their government. They have no rights to have a public gathering. The women are not allowed to drive. The women are not allowed to leave the country without the permission of their male guardian, be that their father, their brother, or their husband.
And I'll just intervene there. Do you not take the point that the House of Saud would say that they keep their people in luxury, and they've just said they're going to offer $10 billion in extra governmental money into civic life in Saudi Arabia? Aren't the people there comfortable, in your opinion?
They're not comfortable. They have no freedom to speak. They have no freedom in their press. They are in fear of being put in prison if they speak out against the royal family, or if they demonstrate, or if they raise any questions about not having a right to vote, or not having a right to travel, or not having a right to read, or be found with... You know, Shakespeare is even prohibited. I mean, you are not allowed to have an opinion on Saudi. And they are not allowed to have theatre, cinema. I mean, what luxury? Everybody gets a house.
Let me just ask you quickly, the House of Saud coming over to Britain at taxpayers' expense, how does that make you feel? Are they welcome here?
Well, they are, because they give the biggest military contracts to Britain, and the British government goes out there to sign up those military contracts.
Thanks very much, Anna. We'll leave it there. We're talking tonight about Palestinian unity, about Bahrain, and, of course, about that wedding. Whether or not you're going to be watching it is the big news of the week. Well, we're coming up to a short break, and afterwards we'll be speaking some more about Palestinian unity, Bahrain and that wedding. So keep the calls coming. Don't go away. I'll still be here after the break and we can talk more on those issues. So make sure that you give me a call or send an email to comment@presstv.co.uk. Welcome back to Comment with me, Lauren Booth, standing in for George Galloway. Today we've been talking about Bahrain, royal weddings and an outbreak of peace in the Middle East. Yes, Fatah and Hamas fighting for 4 years seem to have settled their differences at last and are looking at a future of cooperation. Will Israel or indeed the USA let that happen though? I think we can go to Glenn in Portsmouth now, who might have something to say about that. Welcome to Comment, Glenn.
Thank you. I must say that I think it's grotesquely inconsistent and hypocritical for the West to be intervening militarily in Libya on the pretext of humanitarian concern for the welfare of the indigenous living population, and to issue no condemnation at all about the behaviour of Bahraini authorities and Saudi invaders towards people in Bahrain who are protesting against horrible oppression. And you're having their human rights violated in the most horrific way imaginable.
Glenn, let me ask you then, with Syria and Yemen, the people there experiencing clampdowns and attacks by their governments, police forces and army, would you like then to see NATO active in all these areas, or are you saying you want them in none of the areas?
Well, I'd sooner have them in none of the areas, because I don't think the situations in the countries you've just mentioned, or in any countries in the Middle East, can be improved in any way at all by military intervention by NATO. I think the reasons for why NATO intervenes physically, militarily, and not humanitarian, they derive from self-interest of the worst and most rapacious kind.
Well, our foreign officers said today that they're going to send British troops to the border of Libya, apparently just to protect the pockets of refugees, 30,000 refugees apparently heading towards the Tunisian border. Is that a motive that you believe in?
I find it difficult to accept that. There may be a sort of temporary relevance concerning this, temporary reality concerning this, but I think in the long term, this is just a pretext. This is just a sort of preamble to something more elaborate and more invasive. You know, I think they're operating very, very subtly. They're being very, very, very sort of ginger about this now. You know, in Libya.
And there's the hands-off attitude to Saudi and the Saudi royals coming this weekend and having a jolly in London. How do you, as a British taxpayer, feel about that?
I don't feel too good about it, actually. And I think again, it's a height of inconsistency and hypocrisy for them to be invited. I wasn't aware that they were coming, actually. I thought, in fact, that the King of Saudi Arabia, yes, I think it's the height of hypocrisy and inconsistency again that they should be allowed in to this country when in fact they're not democratic rulers. They violate the rights of their own people in the most hideous way, and also, in the case of Saudi Arabia, they are now seriously and horrifically violating the rights of people in Bahrain.
You know, the unfortunate truth about the modern world and perhaps the ancient world as well is that there is a billionaires club, and once you reach a certain amount of wealth, or when you have a certain amount of oil and natural resources, you can get away with anything, can't you?
Yes, of course. It's a license to kill, basically, you know. What I find in a way even more disturbing is the suggestion or insinuation made by the British Foreign Minister, William Hague, that some kind of military intervention in Syria would be acceptable. I mean, how on earth can the West wage wars on four fronts?
Yes, and to what end? I mean, Syria being on the borders with several countries that NATO and the US particularly are interested in having some manpower around.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
And then we're going to move on to David Lawley. Thanks very much for your call there. We have David Lawley on the line now. David is a filmmaker recently returned from Bahrain. David, thanks for joining me on Comment this evening.
Lauren, how are you? Lovely to hear from you.
Thanks. I'm fine, David. But you're back safe and sound from Bahrain. What sort of situation did you see during your visit?
Well, now the main thrust of the protest has been confined to the villages outside of Manama, due mostly to the fact that the people would be too terrified to confront the Bahraini forces because of the terror that they're reigning over there, and the methods of they're using, which is they're shooting the public, including children and old ladies and old men, with birdshot, which is a spray of lead from a gun straight across them, as well as tear gas. I've come across families which have had old people who have actually died. An old man the other day just died. He was 63-year-old, who died from asphyxiation from tear gas. Mm. And tear gas is on a nightly occasion. It's thrown into houses. They literally open the front door of a house, chuck a tear gas canister in, and then move on. So it's terrorization which is keeping the protesters from going into the capital, Manama. But they're still protesting in much smaller sections in their own villages and from their rooftops. Every single night there's a rooftop demonstration of all the villagers get up on their roofs and all chant Allah Akbar, which is, you know, God is great, which is a wonderful experience, actually, going on these roofs and listening to that as it echoes across the whole of the of Bahrain's island.
David, can I just ask you, do you get the sense that the people there are really have the ability to strong-arm this out against one of the most wealthy families in the world, the Saudis, who are sending their military in? And also, we've heard reports of poison gas being used, as well as tear gas, on the demonstrators. I wonder if you'd heard anything about that.
Well, to answer your first point first, the protesters going up against the Saudis, the protesters don't have any arms at all so far. However, talking yesterday to Nabil Rajab, who's the human rights expert, he was saying that it's only a matter of time. He thinks it'd be 3, 4, possibly 5 months, and blood will start to flow in Bahrain, rather, just as it has done in Libya and Syria and so on, because it will erupt again into a big thing, especially as more and more people get killed and so on, and as the heat of the summer builds through July and August, tempers will fry, and they will take on the forces. But yes, you're right, they haven't got much chance against the enormous Saudi army.
David, as you're a filmmaker yourself, what do you think of the British coverage on the whole of the situation in Bahrain? Has it really reflected fully what's going on there?
Not at all, no. It's a good point. I mean, I think that one of the things is that Britain, obviously, is a major arms dealer in Bahrain and Saudi Arabia, but mostly it's the American influence, because the Americans have their fifth base there, their fifth naval base there. There's an enormous naval base in Bahrain, and also, of course, the oil. The oil from Saudi, the largest oil fields in the world, is pretty much pipelined straight into the United States. And neither the U.S. or Britain has got any idea of going over there and taking on that that regime over there at all. But whilst we're doing this enormous business with them.
David Lawley, a filmmaker, has just got back from Bahrain. Thanks very much for joining us this evening. We're going to take a call now from the UK. Maysoon, I believe, is on the line. Welcome to Comment.
Hello, Lauren. Blessings to you and your family.
Thanks, Maysoon. What would you like to talk about this evening?
I wanted to make a couple of comments on the Palestinian issue. I just really hope and pray that this reconciliation is genuine, because I was looking at the face of Abbas, and he didn't look very happy to me. But I do genuinely hope that this will be genuine for the sake of our people, because that is the greatest thing that we need in Palestine.
You said our people. Sorry, Maysoon. You're Palestinian then, living in the UK, is that right?
Yes.
And, you know, the problem is going to be, are the Hamas officials actually going to be allowed to travel to the West Bank? Because, of course, at the moment, Gaza's under siege. There are hundreds and hundreds of checkpoints between Gaza and Ramallah anyway. Do you really see a time when Israel's going to let Hamas...
No way. Not a way in hell will Israel allow this. And you've heard Lieberman talking about reprisals that he's going to take. He's going to withdraw taxes to the Palestinian Authority. They're going to penalise them financially, which of course means that the people in the West Bank are going to suffer, which also means further siege on Palestinians. Yeah. And, you know, also I want to say something. You know, everybody goes on and on about the international community. The Arab revolutionaries all talk about international community. I would like them to define who they mean by the international community, because as far as I'm concerned, the international community is the United States, Israel, France, UK, Canada, who are all Zionists anyway. We will never get justice from any of the leaders in the West, because they're all Zionists anyway.
Mason, can I just ask you about your thoughts on the situation in Saudi at the moment?
Well,
30
yeah,
dissidents.
Saudi Arabia is another very... It's a thorn in the flesh for the Arab and Muslim world. We have apparently, I was told, that we have a saying in Arabic which describes the Saudis. They are called Ras al Hayya, which means the head of the snake. This is what Arabs think of Saudi Arabia. I want one thing clear made to people. The rulers of Saudi Arabia, the House of Saud, are not Muslims. They are not Muslims. They do not represent true Islam.
Let me ask you, Maysoon, one of our callers, I think our first caller this evening, put forward the idea that Muslims,
don't go on Hajj. I wanted to say this 3 weeks ago. I tried to get on the programme. I honestly believe that we should completely boycott Saudi year. We should boycott buying Saudi dates. We should boycott going on Hajj. I mean, I don't know how that sort of stands from a religious perspective. I don't know, but what I feel disgusted with, I want to ask the imams in Saudi Arabia, where are their voices? Where are their voices when it comes to seeing their Muslim brethren in Bahrain being butchered and slaughtered?
But you know, Maysoon, recently, Saudi scholars came out, several of them, and said that it was against Islamic law to protest.
I'm sorry, that's a lot of rubbish. You know, they're very good at passing fatwas, but they completely abuse Islam. This is well known. They abuse Islam. They've been abusing Islam for decades, and Saudi Arabia has been abusing all that wealth that it's been getting from the pilgrims who go to Hajj. You know, the House of Saud make billions of dollars from Hajj pilgrims, and I think it is shameful. These Wahhabis, they are not Muslims, they do not represent Islam, and they sure as hell do not represent me. And
Thank you, Maysoon.
I'm also tired of the so-called international community.
Thanks very much for your passion this evening, Maysoon. Some interesting ideas and thoughts there you might want to comment. We're going to go to an email now that you've sent in this evening. Nashiz from London, UK, says, I'm going to see the royal wedding tomorrow, but not because I like the royals. I just think it's history in the making and it's good to be a part of something happy for once. The irony is that we left Saudi in 2003 to come to London to escape their grip from our necks. My auntie was killed by Saudi secret police in 2001 for delivering door-to-door Islamic lecture pamphlets following 9/11. The pamphlets were anti-Wahhabi leaflets. So why Britain approves the anti-Islamic pro-terrorist Saudi royal family is beyond me. Thank you very much, Nashiz, for that and for your honesty about watching the royal wedding tomorrow. You know, we've been a bit down on it, really. Maybe you'll want to see the nice frocks. Maybe it is a time to have some jollity. Let's have a look what Lyndon in Kent has to say. Welcome to Comment, Lyndon.
Hello, Lauren. In fact, may I say that I'm not a politician, but I have been dismayed, in fact, at the shameful way in which the Western press has forgotten about countries such as Bahrain and the Yemen, and they've concentrated solely on Libya and Syria. Now, if you're a fair person, if you're going to attack one, you should attack the bad parts in all. But apparently, the Western press has only concentrated on two of the countries. And in particular, I was horrified by the attack by Bahraini police on the girls' school in Bahrain. I thought that was very poor.
Some of our viewers may not have heard about that. What do you know about the Bahraini attack on a girls' school?
In fact, I'm sure it's something I heard on your television programme. And in fact, also the way in which doctors have been abducted and they've lost their jobs. So I don't know how they can survive. And once they're in detention, sometimes the security forces can be exceptionally ungentlemanly, to say the least. So I don't know who cares.
So the doctors, of course, have reported to Press TV as well that they're being tormented and pressured for the treatment of the injured who were going out and protesting unarmed for their rights to be heard in Bahrain. And the doctors who treat them are then being rounded up and pressured. And some of them are actually going missing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's possible to send in the Red Cross or some international body to check on the conditions of all these detainees, because some outside agency does need to be looking in for their well-being.
That's a very good question, Lyndon. Thank you. Maybe somebody out there can tell us if the Red Cross is going into Bahrain and when we'll have a report from that region from the Red Cross. Thank you. We'll go now to Italy and Ahmed. Welcome to Comment, Ahmed.
Hello.
Hi, Ahmed. What would you like to talk about this evening on Comment?
I'm going to talk about Libya. They are in Libya because of petrol, and they see that they have not get any benefit from this in Gaddafi. And right now, I think that they are bringing more rebels in Europe.
Okay, thank you very much, Ahmed, in Italy, for that call. We're going now to Canada, and where we'll be speaking to Hashim. Hashim, welcome to Comment. What would you like to talk about this evening?
Yeah, hi, everybody, and thank you for accepting my call. I would like to, first of all, want to comment on the lady who said we should boycott Hajj. We can't boycott Hajj. We can boycott Umrah. And we should encourage people to go more and more to Hajj and raise our voice for human rights. Mm. The second thing I wanted to find out and tell you about that the media or American or West, they are just fooling their people. They are not fooling the actually oppressed people, because when everybody knows that when 9/11 happened, the majority of attackers were Saudis. Everybody knows that the Al-Qaeda founder is Saudi. Everybody knows that the terrorists, which are being financed by Al-Qaeda, Taliban, Al-Shabaab, whatever new name you can hear from Indonesia, Abu Al-Saif and whatever, they are being financed by Saudi Arabia.
Hashim, I just want to ask you, you're in Canada, what's the press coverage like on the news of the situation in Bahrain and Saudi Arabia?
Well, it is biased. I would say that they are not showing exactly what is happening as in the fact, because they say that it is a sectarian issue. They never say the actual fact what is happening. This is what is happening in Canada, and most of the we have been campaigning to contact our MPs and talk about Bahrain, and we are also...
Thank you very much, Hashim. In Canada, I'd like to recommend that you do keep on writing those letters and putting pressure on your parliamentarians whenever you feel that something's not being done that you'd like. We're going now back to London. And Shukla, welcome to comment this evening.
Regarding Bahrain... Hello?
Yes, you can go ahead, Shukla, we're listening.
We never see nothing on the telly about Bahrain or Yemen or Saudi Arabia because it's been blacked out. All the time that we see is about Gaddafi and Syria. Nothing else is on the news about them. And they black it out, which is all very right. If they want to give a news, they give it for everybody. The poor people are dying, they're suffering. But all they're interested, where they can get the oil, they're not worried of human. And another thing I like to say is this, the United Nations is not working. We need to change it because it's run by America and the USA. Mm-hmm. And it's become a terrorist organization because they pass the law, whatever they want to do with the other countries, they sit over there and they get the vote, they pay for the vote to the other members. And what do you think of that?
Shukla, you made some really good points there, both about the UN and the lack of coverage in other places of the situation in Bahrain and Saudi. Thanks very much. We're now staying in the United Kingdom. We're going to Wales to speak to James. Welcome, James, to comment. What would you like to talk about this evening?
Oh, hello there. Great show, by the way. Always
Thank
listening.
You.
A couple of things. We always hear it's America, it's the UK, and there's always a sense of it's the people. And it always concerns me that there's so many people that are so unaware that, you know, we're all blaming each other and not looking at the larger picture. And the larger picture is we've been corrupted by large government and played against each other, you know?
I was just thinking, James, that actually we're being put to sleep. The narcotic of big weddings, the narcotic that is celebrity culture, don't you think that plays a part in keeping us asleep?
Absolutely. I mean, it is. The brainwashing is intense. And, you know, watching, and I watch intensely on what is going on abroad, with the Middle East and Africa and whatnot. And it's clear to see that I'd like to see the West, but it's a bigger picture than that. But
James, I just want to ask you finally, it's a royal wedding tomorrow, we're in the UK. Will you be watching it? Do you feel proud?
No, I don't feel proud. It's nice for people to have a wedding. I hope they're very good together. But it's perhaps the only good thing about...
Thanks very much, James. We're just about out of time, as he was about to tell us the one good thing about this weekend's festivities. Well, I won't be watching the royal wedding because I'm going to make myself busy elsewhere, and I'm afraid that's all we have time for in comment this week. Thanks for joining me again. You've been very lively. Stay tuned. The news is up next.
Hello, if you just comment, name and the phone number. And just make sure the phone number is 0. 0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know.
You can have your telephone number.
Okay, so I'll
just
comment.